is a narration being spoken by one Rishi, Jaimini Rishi, to Janamejaya, who is the son of Maharaj Parikshit, who we have heard of as the receiver of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are mostly aware, I'm sure everyone is aware, that he had 7 days in which to live. And because of the curse that he had received, he was earnestly and totally focused on hearing from Sukadev Goswami. When Sukadev Goswami completed his discourse on the Bhagavatam, he stood up and he left, leaving his, you could say, his student to now focus his attention tightly and firmly on his meditation because his time of death was imminent. And at that very moment, such an important moment, his mother came running and she said to him, "Please, please, please, tell me the essence of what you heard." And because he was so exalted, and because his mother was so exalted, Mother Uttara, he decided to delay his own personal focused meditation and actually speak to her. So there are two stories in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. There's 3 volumes, 1 volume, 1 story, 2 volumes, the second story. And at the beginning of the second story, she asks a question of her son. She says, "There must be some place, some amazing place, where the most devoted lovers of Krishna, where they go." Because she had heard so many things, there are people in there, they are elevated to different material planets, they go to Goloka Vrindavan, they go to Vaikuntha, they go from Vaikuntha, you can go to Ayodhya, you can go even to Dwarka. But where do these most devoted residents of Vrindavan, where do they go? Where is that place? And her son was very deeply touched by her question. And he replied to her excellent question. He said, "I prefer to clarify this subject by relating a history that I learned by the mercy of my spiritual master," which was Sukadev Goswami. "And this narration," he told his mother, "will dispel all your doubts." Can you imagine reading something that would dispel all your doubts? So then the king began to tell his mother this story, which we are about to begin and hear every night during the retreat. Now, during this exchange between the king and his mother, Jaimini Rishi was seated very nearby and he overheard the whole thing. And so then, acting as the spiritual master of the king's son, soon to become the king himself, he wished to repeat exactly the same narration. So he begins by saying, "O King, to understand or speak about these topics by one's own strength is impossible. The essence of the science of pure devotion to Krishna is beyond the power of the words to explain or the mind to comprehend." And so he again repeated what had been repeated to Uttara, he is about to repeat it to her grandson. And you are about to hear as the third narration, one, two, and now yourselves. So we are sitting here together by the side of Giriraj, and I'm going to endeavor to try to share with you in an incredibly abbreviated form this same great story. And it is truly astonishing. So, in essence, what will we hear? We'll hear about a young boy. He's born and lives here at Govardhan. And we'll hear how he is asked to tell his story, the same story that Maharaj Prickett heard, that Janamanjaya Maharaj is hearing. He's going to tell his story from the personal point of view to a Brahmana who has just arrived in Mathura. And he is thinking how to instill faith in this man. He's ignorant. He's chanting his Madan Gopal mantra, but he doesn't really understand anything. He has no tattva. He has no understanding of what he's supposed to be achieving in his life. So he has been invited, in fact he has been requested, to come and speak his life story, the story of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, to this Brahmana to bring him very quickly to his destination. So what the young boy will tell him is an epic experience in the amount of time involved to reach from where he began to where he is finally going to remain eternally. And it took lifetimes of our in our imagination, unbelievable amount of time. But when he speaks to the Brahmana, he wants to take him in the same direction immediately. So this is very, very attractive, actually. When Uttara asks, what about this place? There has to be a place for the highest residents of Vrindavan. This is the qualities she considers should be the qualities of that place. One, it should be devoid of awe and reverence. Two, there should be no thought that the Lord is the supreme, all-powerful controller. Three, it should be untouched by anything that impedes the growth of ecstatic love. Four, it is invisible to those who are addicted to dry knowledge. Five, it should be approachable only by the dearmost servants of the Lord who delight in being caught up in the sway of love, untasted in the world by any other. And finally, it should be fully enriched with indescribable transcendental rasa. So she says to her son, such a unique place must certainly exist. But because it is most confidential, and I am very unintelligent, I cannot ascertain its identity. So she tells her son, please reveal this place to me. And when he did so, and then it was again recorded and spoken again, and now spoken here, it is going to also be revealed to us as well. On a personal note, I first got a copy of a small section of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in 1990, a long time ago. And at that time, I was interested in making puppet shows because sometimes I had done that here in India and also in America. And so when I read it very briefly and it wasn't with any explanation, I thought to myself, this is such a nice story. And so one time I was visiting a very senior friend of Srila Prabhupada's who was very knowledgeable, particularly in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I said in a kind of childish way, like a child says something, I said, I've read this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's wonderful. I want to make a puppet show. And he laughed. He laughed, but it was a deep laugh. He laughed. And I felt so silly, like, you know, I really said something stupid. And I sort of fumbled around a bit and I said, I guess it's a bit of a dream. And then he sat for a moment and he said, when your Swamiji told me that he wanted to go to the West and he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere, I told him, Swamiji, it's only a dream. And then he said, so keep your dreams. Keep your dreams. So when I started to prepare this, I'm apologizing for being emotional, but when I started to prepare this presentation, I thought it would be easy, like the little puppets. And I found that it was exactly the opposite. It was actually profoundly difficult to work with a subject matter that's inconceivable. It's easy to work with words and edit words and cut them down and put them into numbers and so forth, but to actually contain a transcendental essence that's beyond those words, I found it was extremely challenging. And yet, the thought that somebody can tell you and me what exists beyond the realm of matter is astonishing. If you stop for a moment and think about that, it's astonishing. And so I hope that to some degree I can present this subject that is so great and so profound, and that to some degree together we can benefit from that exchange. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Keep your dreams. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivase Sasunyavani Prasakarachade Sitarani. Om Aginata Minandasya Zina Zina Salakaya Chakshasunatam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Maravistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vansakopa Tubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayibacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. my presentation is also ambitious, like Mataji's. What she said, it seemed very ambitious. In mind, I'm trying to cover or explain the pastime when a kura comes to Vrindavan, and then he brings Krishna to where? Mathura. Now, that's not a very happy pastime for the residents of Vrindavan, but it is very deep, of course. And then that's in chapter 38, 39, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and then in 40, Akura offers his prayers at the Jamuna, at Akura Ghat, and then Krishna and Akura and Balaram enter Mathura. So there's three full chapters of the Bhagavatam, and two of those are prayers, and so it's quite a lot, and we're going to go quite fast in one sense. To make it easier, we've done some of it in videos, and let's see how we do. But one aspect of this is that the class, 2-hour class, has a kirtan before it, but the kirtan is before the 2 hours begin. So if you want to be on time, you have to be on time at the exact beginning of the class, otherwise it shall begin without you. So the class is at 4 o'clock. Okay, hope that's clear. And there's a kirtan before that. Now, this project of it's really an epic and a very, very touching epic. When I told Jagatvini Mataji that I was going to describe Akura's visit to Vrindavan, and then which Sachinanda Maharaj spoke about, and I had previously also spoke about quite a few years ago. There's a very important point in it that I remember Maharaj making very strongly, is that Akura's journey to Vrindavan is a prototype of how to get to this Vrindavan on pilgrimage, but also our own actual journey to Vrindavan. So there's different elements of this journey that we've analyzed in Akura's prayers, and we will explain those. And they are really required for the internal journey to Vrindavan. I think we've all had the experience of taking a long flight or coming to Vrindavan, but our mind is still somewhere else for at least a few days before we actually arrive. So there are elements that we have to do in our consciousness to really arrive in the realm of Vrindavan, which Mataji had described in such a wonderful way, that it's, how do you describe something that's beyond all concepts, material concepts, and all we have in our mind is material concepts, and how do you describe something that has nothing to do with your, with the way you think in the material, with your material mind? So it's, so Srila Sanatana Goswami has done it wonderfully, and so has Srila Sukadev Goswami. But in the middle of, not in the middle, I found it very interesting, and we'll cover this starting in the third of the classes, that the 39th chapter where Akura is called, does anyone happen to know what the name of that chapter is? It's, without looking at your mobile phone, of course. It's called Akura's Vision. So Akura leaves Vrindavan, and then he arrives with Krishna and Balaram at the Jamuna River, and there he has a vision of who Krishna and Balaram actually are according to his consciousness. But what's not explained in the title is, that's quite well hidden in the title, is that a volcano erupts when he leaves. And perhaps those who named the chapters didn't want to even talk about it. And it's that Krishna is leaving, And the brother gopikas go mad, practically speaking, in separation from Krishna. Just the thought of their eyes blinking, namaste, just the thought of not seeing Krishna for one moment was intolerable for them. And now Krishna was going to leave for Mathura. So there's two classes on this very, very touching part of the of this 39th chapter. So when I told Jagatwini Mataji that I was going to speak on these chapters, she said, "Why are you going to do that? It's so sad." But what to do? It's part of the Bhagavatam. So it is very sad, but we'll also hear it analyzed from a somewhat philosophical point of view too. And well, the sadness of virahabhav, or separation from Krishna, is really the essence of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to achieve Krishna. If we don't feel that we're missing Krishna, then he won't give us the mercy to be able to actually be with him. So this story begins, this pastime begins, when Kamsa starts understanding that Krishna is very powerful, and that all the asuras that he sent to kill Krishna, they have been killed one after another. And then he brings Aristasura and Keshi together and sends Aristasura, who's an extremely powerful demon, so powerful, he sends him to Vrindavan to kill Krishna, and he was tearing up the earth, a huge bull. He was tearing up the earth, and the sound of his roaring was bringing miscarriages to the cows and the ladies of Braja. And Krishna took him a little far from Nandagram. He took him a little far from the village of Nandagram, and he challenged him. He made the sound of a roaring bull, and he imitated Aristasura, because Krishna was an expert coward boy. So he made the sound of a roaring bull. Have any of you ever heard the sound of a bull snorting and roaring? Raise your hands if you have. You don't want to get close to them when their horns are down. So Aristasura charged Krishna with his sharp horns down, and he was huge and roaring loudly. And Krishna grabbed him by the horns and threw him 18 steps away. And that infuriated him more, Aristasura. So he charged Krishna again. And while he was charging, Krishna just put his... Excuse me, Maharaj. Krishna put his hand on his shoulder of his friend and laughed, which made Aristasura even more angry. So with his head horns down, he charged Krishna. Krishna threw him, he twisted him, holding the horns to the ground, and then pulled out a horn, killed him. So a wonderful event happened because of this, according to the Puranas. Because of this, what happened? Radhakun, the Shyamakun, just some acharyas say the Krishna, when he was going to fight with Aristasura, he dug his heel into the ground, and that became Shyamakund, the beginning of Shyamakund. And then from this, when the gopis, the rasa is created, because there has to be some clashing for rasa to be created. So Krishna, they said, "We won't touch you," because Krishna was actually on the way to perform a rasa dance. It was twilight. And they said, no, we won't touch you. You've killed a bull. And Krishna said, that wasn't a bull. He was the most sinful of all creatures. He was a demon in disguise of a bull. And they said, well, nevertheless, he was in the form of a bull. You'll have to atone. You go to all the holy places in the whole world and bathe in all the holy rivers. And then we'll talk to you. And Krishna said, he just called all the holy rivers and all the holy lakes and filled up Shyamakund. And there's such a wonderful dialogue when the personification of all those holy rivers begged Srimati Radharani, begged her, please allow our waters to enter your Kunda. So that was settled. But something, in addition to the sweetness, happened next. And because Narada Muni, in some senses, he plays the part of a stirring pot, the stirring spoon of a big pot. So he understood it was time now to move the Leela on, and it was time now for Kamsa to be killed and Vasudev and Devaki to be freed. So he went right to Mathura and he appeared there outside of the city, and Kamsa came out to see him, and Narada Muni said, you'll never guess what. He said that Devaki had sent that daughter, or brought that daughter. She wasn't actually the daughter of Devaki. She was the daughter of Yashoda. And that person, Vasudev, had lied to you. He had lied to you. And he sent his actual eighth son to the home of Nanda Maharaj. And his name is Krishna. And he is the one who has killed all the demons that you have sent to kill him. And hearing that Vasudev had lied to him, Kamsa immediately pulled out his sword and wanted to kill Vasudev. But Narada Muni said, he isn't the one, Vasudev isn't the one who is supposed to kill you. And if you kill Vasudev, then you'll never find Krishna. Nanda will hide him so well, he'll take him so far away, you'll never find Krishna. So Kamsa, being a diplomat, he decided to put Vasudev and Devaki in prison in a way that Krishna would have to rescue them. And he started making his arrangements for the Dhanajagya and the wrestling match, and then he called for Akura and said, Akura, my dear friend, oh, you are completely loyal to me. You please go to Vrindavan and you invite Krishna to come for this Dhanajagya, this bow sacrifice. We're going to worship the bow of Lord Shiva. And there's a story from the Gauga Samhita that we won't explain now of the significance of that bow, but in very brief, it is said that whoever broke that bow, Parsaram told Kamsa, would be the cause of your death. And when Krishna entered Mathura and broke that bow, that sound entered Kamsa's heart, and he knew his death was certain. But yet, he would not surrender. He would not surrender. So, the pastime goes on, and then the next day, Kesi is sent to kill Krishna, and Kesi is killed. And then Narada Muni visits Krishna and has to tell him, and Mataji gave a class on this one time that was so touching. He was the one who had to break the news to Krishna that now it was the time to end his Vrindavan pastimes. And later on, Krishna installs Ugrasena after Kamsa is killed. He installed Ugrasena on the throne, thinking, now I can finally go back to Vrindavan, because Krishna's heart is always in Vrindavan. So Narada told Kamsa, Krishna, told Krishna now is the time, and he told him all the pastimes that will occur in the future, about he will kill Kamsa in 2 days, he will go to school in the ashram of Sandipani Muni in a very holy place, and on, how many wives he would marry. And Krishna was saying, you mean I'm going to do that? I have to do all these things? And I was, yes. Because Krishna is a combination of Mugdhata and Sarvakya. He knows everything. But due to the love of the residents of Vrindavan, his consciousness is somewhat compressed by their love. So he can only think of them and the exchanges of love, because that is the highest taste, and his all-knowing nature is somewhat covered. So of course we can't understand the consciousness of Krishna. After all, he is the supreme absolute truth and the source of everything. So the scene is set. Akura, it was Ekadasi, Akura followed the Ekadasi. He spent the night fasting and thinking of Krishna, and although he was being sent by Kamsa to bring Krishna to Krishna's death, what was in Akura's mind was, I am going to bring Krishna, and Krishna will be the death of Kamsa. His mind was on Kamsa's death. Well, Kamsa's mind was on saving his own life and killing Krishna. So the next morning, Akura leaves for Vrindavan and with the great desire to finally see Krishna, who is so near. So that's where we'll pick up the pastime tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Excuse me, sorry. 7 or 7:15, depending upon how I do.
7:15 here in the hall. And we have to go well started at 4 o'clock, and I'm trying to be back. Also here in the hall,
yes.
And I will give my class starting at
10:30, also here at the hall. Good. Let me now say a few words about my class, but I'm very intrigued by what I heard so far. My dear devotees, I was born in this lifetime in the family of a railroad director, and our family was thinking always about bringing people from here to there, from Berlin to Paris, from Beijing to the Yellow River. Transport was the idea. And I don't know, perhaps this has mixed with my genes. I'm very, very interested since joining this movement about the question, how can I go from here, the material world, to the eternal spiritual world and be with Radha and Krishna? And this interest has become more pronounced as I grow old. I'm taking encouragement from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote a song called "An Entreaty." An entreaty is something where you beg. Like a beggar has a bowl and sits himself before the palace of the queen and the king and begs for some alms. So in an entreaty, you typically beg Radha and Krishna for something. So it is very endearing. He says, Shri Radha Krishna Pada Kamala Mono Kemunal Labhibe Charama Sharana. O mind, How will you ultimately take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna? And he describes he's getting impatient, just like some of us are getting older, or they have spent a few decades practicing. He says, Chanchala Jivana Shrota Pravahiya Kalera Shagaradhaya. This restless current of life flows like a river, running into the ocean of time or death. The days that have gone will not come again. Alas, Krishna, what am I to do now? And he then says it, what he wants, what is the purpose of his entreaty. He says, Siddhate hadiya brindavana maje sevamrita karor dan piyaya prema matakori more shunani jagunagan. Please, give me a perfected spiritual body without any coughing symptoms. Oh, sorry, this is it's called an interpolation. Give me a perfected spiritual body within the transcendental abode of Vrindavan and bestow upon me in charity the nectar of service to you. After making me drink prema and thus become spiritually intoxicated, hear and listen to me as I sing your glories. So, four things he wishes. He wants to have a perfected spiritual body, full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. He thinks of a place where he wants to have this body, that is in Vrindavan Dham. And he wants to do something there. He has a desire to what? Do you remember perhaps? Render service, yes. And he says at the end what all devotees like to do in the spiritual world, where every step is a dance. He says, and please let me sing your glories there. I will dance and sing your glory. So I have read this verse, this song, very much. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm getting older and I really wish the final journey of my life to take me close to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, where I will engage in Sevamrita, the nectar of their service. This, my dear devotees, I have never forgotten. And now where I'm getting older, I see Burijan Prabhu is only 4 years older than me and he needs a stick to walk. Perhaps I will also. So I'm seeing what old age brings. I see the river of time flows into the ocean of death. So I was asking myself, okay, if this will be my last seminar before I die, what would I like the devotees to know? What would I like to know myself? And it is with this, motivation that I sat down and prepared for a seminar which will discuss all the elements that need to be in place to make that ultimate journey. As I told you, I'm from a simple family of railroad people who think about going from here to there. This, I thought, is a nice project for the son of a railroad man. Yes, I have taken as my sources also Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I didn't know what our Mataji would do, but I will not repeat, I think what she will say, because I will just deal with one particular section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Let us see. That's when Gop Kumar comes to Dwaraka and goes to the house of Uddhava, where he gets final instructions. Yeah. You talk about that as well?
I will go over that very quickly.
You will? Good, good. So we will... This was an internal discussion. So yes, and I hope I was also moved that I will keep this dream alive to go to the spiritual world. And yes, my sources are Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's writings, and so on. And I hope to offer this katha at the lotus feet of Giriraj and all of you, so that you have clear travel instructions, so to say, for the ultimate journey of the soul. The journey which I feel we all came to make. We came to the station of our movement, but perhaps sometimes we got a little sidetracked with cooking in the station, or making a family in the station, which is a good project, and so on. It may be very refreshing for us to hear about the journey. So more, I think I don't need to relate here.
Reveal
here, yes. But how do you like the decoration? I was actually thinking, what does our... I keep on forgetting the name. It starts with M, I believe, no? Do you know the decorating, Mataji? Madhuya Goranga Gorangi. Yes, I kept on thinking, what will she do that outdoes or which equals or comes close to what she did before? And now we see that huge form of Giriraj, who's Krishna, who said, Shailos me, I'm the this mountain, and he is just about to have a delicious meal. You see the Vrijbasis bringing really tons of prasadam, and it's not just here in the picture, it's here are more preparations, you know. It's really a loving offering to that form of the Lord who is identical with Giriraj. He's also a servant. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Lord, but he acts as a servant, not so. So here you see him more in his lordly form. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. So, yeah.
I had a little story to tell.
Please.
That occurred maybe 50 years ago.
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes. We can't. Do you wish to have microphones? They are also a good invention of humanity.
Give me my stick. Let's see. I think that's okay. Thank you. Okay. This is a very little story, and perhaps Jagatrini Mataji will also remember it. It's something that happened in Hong Kong in the very early 70s. We were there preaching and trying to spread Krishna consciousness on the order of Srila Prabhupada. And there we were. Jagatrini wasn't even initiated when she got there, and I had been chanting just a few years, but Prabhupada inspired the devotees so much that to spread Krishna consciousness, the world needs it. So to please Prabhupada. The devotees did quite amazing things, not only in Hong Kong, but all over the world. So this was in 1970. in our preaching, we decided to visit a Catholic church and speak to the head of the Catholic church, who was there. I don't remember what he was, a bishop or something or another. Do you remember this incident?
I remember, but I don't remember what he was
either. Yeah, okay. So we went there, and in our youthful enthusiasm, we went there and, you know, told them how we were going to do this and we were going to do that, and we were just in our early 20s, and you know, open up 17 temples in Hong Kong or something like that. Who knows what we told him? But then he just looked at us, and he was, I don't know how old, but he was already mature age. And he looked at us and said, "I remember when I was also enthusiastic like that too." And do you remember? You have that memory?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's because you're not a Hare Krishna devotee or something like that. You're not chanting the Mahamantra, and that's what I was thinking. But his words really struck me, that I remember when I was enthusiastic like that too and had great hope. And the loss of that enthusiasm and the loss of that hope is something that we really have to avoid. Because when we lose hope and enthusiasm, we're just tired old people who are there because you don't have any other place to go. So I very much appreciated what Maharaj said about this desire that he's nourished since his first joining, about wanting to be in the spiritual world, and because that's the promise of the Krishna consciousness movement. You chant Hare Krishna, you do it properly, you follow the process, and you can go back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, and be established in your actual who you are, your actual relationship with Krishna. So these, in my opinion, these retreats are very important for the presenters and for those who are hearing, especially in the presence of Giriraj Govardhan. It gives the presenters an opportunity to ask that question: What do I want? What did I join for? What was the promise that attracted me? What do I really want? And at times, so many other things come in that I want this and I want that and I want that. But what do I really want? That's a question that it's very healthy to ask ourselves. And we want to hear and chant in such a way, or be that sincere, that Krishna can't help but giving us hints and directions to attain what we really want. And this is just my imagination, but when I think, what do I really want? And then I ask the follow-up question, well, what do you really want? And then I imagine that Krishna's answering after I say, I want to go back to Godhead, I want to serve you in the spiritual world, I want to be this or that. And I imagine Krishna saying, oh, really? Let's see. Not in a nasty way, but actions will follow the actions will follow the desire if the desire is sincere. So we don't want you all to become ex-enthusiastical, ex-hopeful devotees. So
they can't hear you if you don't use a microphone.
Yes, we don't. Thank you.
hello. We don't want you to become ex-enthusiastic, ex-hopeful devotees, and it's towards this end in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan that this Govardhan Retreat Center and our presentations are gained, because we've understood that when we glorify Krishna and Krishna's dear ones here, Giriraj allows mercy to flow, and that's the actual purpose of our Govardhan Retreat Center.
Thank you. Well spoken. Yes, that we have experienced when we just built one, you know, during this retreat, one, it's almost like a sangha, a community, if you so wish, of hearers and chanters. Then all of a sudden, a lot of mercy is coming from Giriraj with sublime experiences. And I shall just only add this one thing. So let us build this community of hearers and chanters. And it's not just the work of the presenters to do this, we need to do this together. And then, miracles can exist and not exist, can happen, and it does happen. I thank you very much, Jagatarini, Bhuijan Prabhu, how can I thank myself? I just wanted to say, and the third presenter, then I noticed who was that, but Hare Krishna, I caught my tongue. So good. Then I think we will have a short, brief last kirtan, and then you will have your dinner. Let me just ask a technical question. Am I correct? Is it 7:17? It seems to be already so late, but it's because we are in December, middle of December, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Or the night is young.
We should dance on the tabletops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we should sing this long melody. Longing. This is a special melody. We require definitely your full help. It's a melody where we can go very deep and internal and pray, really. Remember, this is the last short chanting session we have together. And it's good, the last thought which we take with us into our sleep will inform our subconscious mind. When we wake up, we are in a place where we can really use this retreat. Remember, we had a little exercise, my expectations and my commitment. Remember, we had this at the hill. It seems already like 2 light years away, you know, so many important ideas come. So perhaps you want to connect with this a little, or you want to just pray to Giriraj. It will be a brief kirtan, 15 minutes or so, so that you get your dinner in time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I can understand you that you are a little reserved perhaps to sing because the melody is a little intricate, but just who's there? Just sing along. Don't be afraid. You will make it after some time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes, much better, yes. Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, we need to be much louder somehow or other. Yes, yes. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna.